I invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Acts 20, 24. This is what we are using as our theme verse for this new year. And when we first got into this verse back in the last Sunday of December 2023, I mentioned to you how I was asking the Lord for some direction as to what we could use for a theme this year, and I thought it would be kind of interesting if there was a 2024 verse in the scriptures that might relate to a good theme for this year. And so I dug through the Word of God and found, I think there were 24 Bible books that had at least 20 chapters, and out of those 24 books, 15 of them had a chapter 20, verse 24, 2024. And out of all of them, as I went through them and considered them, Acts 20, 24 was the one that fit the best for what we want to have as a focus this year. So note along with me, Acts 20, 24. Paul says, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." And so from this verse, we've gone to that last phrase of the Apostle Paul for our theme for this year, that is to testify the gospel of the grace of God. That is what we want to have as a focus for this year in terms of ministry and our own personal times of evangelism and ministry, is to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Now, we've already looked at the verse statement by statement, so we've already been through three of them. Here is just a summary of how we can outline this verse. Number one, to be unmoved by external things, right? Paul says that he is unmoved. None of these things move me, he says. And we looked in the context and saw that the Spirit of God was testifying in every city that he went, that when he went to Jerusalem, there were going to be bonds and afflictions awaiting him. But he says, none of those things move me. He was ready to give his life for the cause of Christ, and so he was unmoved by external things. Secondly, he was unpersuaded by personal value. He said, "Neither count I my life dear unto myself." It's not that life is not important. It certainly is, and we take care of the body. We take care of our life. We do those things necessary. But when compared to the ministry and service for the Lord Jesus Christ, while life is important, it does not compare to the ministry that we have. Life should not be cared for to the exclusion of serving the Lord. If we're fearful of things that may come along that may injure us, the world around us seems to be more interested in self-preservation than anything. But Paul said, no, my life is what it is, but I don't count it so dear to myself that I won't go to Jerusalem and continue ministry there. So he's unpersuaded by personal value. And then thirdly, we note that he had a purpose to finish. And so he says, none of these things move me. I don't count my life dear to myself, so that I might finish. And that seems to be a purpose in Paul's life, was to finish. To finish what? Well, he talks about two things, and we looked at the first one last week, a purpose to finish my course with joy. Even though it's going to reflect bonds and afflictions, and you can look in various epistles from the Apostle Paul, and he goes through a grocery list of things that he suffered for the gospel's sake and for Christ, and yet he's still undeterred. And he wants to finish his course that Christ has laid out for him, to do that with joy. And so when we talked about that last week, we understood that the joy that he wants to finish his course with is not anything that he can drum up himself personally or in the flesh. It must come from who? The Holy Spirit. Because fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and then the other parts of that. And so by keeping close to the Spirit of God, being filled with the Spirit of God, abiding in the Spirit and trusting him, he was purposed to finish his course, that is the direction that Christ has given to him, and to do that with joy. We suggested to you that joy is different than happiness. The world always seems to think that happiness is due them, right? I need to be happy, and so if my marriage partner doesn't make me happy, get rid of him and find somebody else. You know, that's the way that the world thinks. But happiness is, but joy, I should say, is not dependent upon any kind of circumstances. It's dependent on the Spirit of God filling us with himself so that we know no matter what may be going on in the world around us or in our own lives, we can have joy because the Spirit of God brings that. And then the number four point is that he wants to finish his ministry. So he has a focused pursuit here, a focused pursuit, and that focus is to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. And that's what we want to spend the rest of our time this morning taking a look at. And if you need a reminder of what we've said concerning those other three parts, you can find them on the church website under sermons. You can listen to them there. So this morning, let's consider this second thing that Paul wants to finish. He wants to finish his ministry, which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. As we have been doing, we need to understand the terms that Paul is using here. The word ministry is the Greek word diakonia. And that is a term from which we get the word deacon from. But diakonia simply means service, to serve. And in fact, the Greeks had another word that gets translated servant or service, and that is doulos. Doulos literally is a bond slave, but gets translated into our English text as the word servant. There's a difference between diakonia and doulos. Diakonia, which we have here in this verse, associates the man with the service that he renders. It associates the man with the service that he renders. Whatever that may be, that's the emphasis, is his work, his labor, his service. Doulos, on the other hand, which means slave, associates the man with his master. Right? So I am a servant of Jesus Christ. And that's why Paul, in many of his epistles, would use the word doulos, a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he would use doulos, slave, to emphasize that relationship that he had with his master. And so what Paul is dealing with here in Acts 20:24, the ministry is an emphasis on the service that he had, that he did for the Lord God. Now, he used the word diakonia, and we know that comes into English as the word deacon, and certainly the ministry of deacons is to serve within the local church. But all of us really are involved in service and ministry, aren't we? We are. It's not just the apostles, not just the deacons, not just the pastor, but all of us together have ministry or service to work in. Sometimes that's within the context of the local church. Certainly all of us can have ministry and service to one another as we pray for each other, as we encourage each other. But then maybe God has given you some service outside of the walls of the local church. maybe in your neighborhood or at your workplace, wherever. And that service is to we're to be involved in, all of us together. And the field is wide open for the kind of service we can be involved in. Whatever may be dear unto your heart, if you like to help out other people, maybe some older folks in your neighborhood. Our daughter-in-law, Amanda, has started up a ministry of, what does she call it? It's going into nursing homes or hospitals or other places to care for, to be a companion for a senior adult who maybe doesn't have any other people to talk to. So she's willing to go in and spend some time with them and have some interaction with them as a means of helping the family and, of course, that person. That's a great area of ministry. And I'm not sure how busy he is with it yet, but just recently has started that. So the field is wide open, and whatever the Lord may lay upon your heart to help or to minister to somebody, you need to be ready to go. And as Paul says, he desired to finish the ministry. Now, for the Apostle Paul, his ministry was given to him by the Lord Jesus, as he says here in verse 24, that he wanted to finish the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus. So his ministry was given to him by the Lord Jesus Christ. Just after Paul was saved, do you remember where he was called Saul back then? Do you remember how he was saved? In Acts chapter 9, on the road to Damascus, the Lord Jesus met him. He was blinded, and Christ called him at that point to serve him. And so when Saul was led into the town of Damascus, he had to be led because he was blind, he couldn't see. There was a believer in Damascus by the name of Ananias, who Christ called to go to Saul, lay his hands on him and heal him, give him his eyesight back. And of course, Ananias had some doubts because Saul was only there in Jerusalem to arrest Christians. But the Lord told Ananias, "You go your way. He is a called vessel to me." So here in Acts 9, verses 15 and 16, we read this. "But the Lord said unto him," that's Ananias, "Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." So that happened way back in Acts chapter 9 at his time of conversion. He understood what his ministry was, given to him by the Lord Jesus. He's a chosen vessel to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel, and I will show him through the course of his life how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And that's why Paul could say in this verse, Those things don't move me, right? None of these things move me. I don't even count my life dear unto myself. I'm ready to give myself for the cause of Christ and the ministry that he has given to me. And to suffer was just part of what Christ had for him. But let's understand that to bear the name of Christ, as we read here in Acts 9, is all about the gospel message. If we're going to bear the name of the Lord Jesus, that includes necessarily the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel message. And so this is what God gave Paul to do. And he wanted to finish it. Obviously finish it before his life ended in the here and now. And so he was working hard at his ministry. Now, the ministry that he received of the Lord Jesus Christ was to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And the word testify is a very important word. it's about this long in the Greek text. Dia marturomai. Dia marturomai. It's a compound word made up of several Greek words, but the root means to be a witness, right? So this word, translated testify, means to witness or to attest to something, to solemnly affirm the truth of something. And so the gospel was not just a nice sentiment that he could pass around to others. No, Paul's ministry was to testify, to affirm the serious, solemn truth of who Jesus Christ is, what he has done for mankind, and what he expects of us to, by way of knowing him. This witness to the truth of the gospel was such that the truth was affirmed, and people needed to believe that truth for their own spiritual and eternal well-being. It wasn't just some nice platitudes that he was expressing that, sounds nice. This was an important message that people needed not only to hear, but to believe to the saving of their souls. So, to testify is also not just in the words that we speak, but also backed up by the lives that we lived. So we can tell the truth of the gospel, but if our life does not confirm or conform to that gospel message, people don't have any real reason to believe what we have to say to them. It would be hypocritical, for sure, to preach the gospel but not having ever believed it oneself. Sad to hear of how many pastors have left the church, left the faith, because they say they don't believe anything that they're preaching anymore. They don't believe the gospel anymore, and so they bail out. And how sad that is. And unfortunately, in our day and age, some of those men that do that are celebrated by churches and Christians even today. They think it's wonderful that they can stand up for their morals or their truths or whatever and not be hypocrites about it. I think it's a sad state that you can be in that position and not even believe the things that the Bible says. Remember what Paul wrote to the church in Thessalonica. This was a wonderful church, and he had great things to say about the Thessalonians. In 1 Thessalonians 1, verses 6 through 8, 1 Thessalonians 1, 6 to 8, Paul says this to them, "And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were ensamples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not say, and we not need to speak anything." That's quite a testimony for the Thessalonians. They believed the gospel message that Paul brought to them, the word of God. In fact, they believed it so well that they had a ministry and set an example for everybody else in that whole region of Macedonia and Achaia. Paul says, we don't even have to say anything because you, the witness that you have to the gospel is already out there. And he gave them great commendation for that. So Paul's witness to the gospel involved his whole life. It wasn't just the words he spoke, but it was the life that he lived as well. Nothing could deter him from being that witness that Christ had called him to be. we listen to what Paul is saying here in other parts of his epistles, and we ask ourselves the question, are we committed to testify the gospel with our whole being and life? We may know the words to say, but will our lives back up the truth that we communicate? And of course, the answer is we should be. We should be as committed to the gospel as the Apostle Paul was. And that's kind of what we want to focus on for 2024, is to be good witnesses for Christ and for the gospel message. So Paul was committed to testifying to the gospel. And he puts it as the gospel of the grace of God. That's an interesting phrase. The gospel of the grace of God. Now, you know the word gospel means good news, right? It's the Greek word euangelion, good news. And certainly that's what it is. And good news is needed because of the bad news that's already out there. The good news is to help with the bad news. There would be no need for the gospel if mankind was perfect, sinless. But the world is not well. The world is sick. Sin has sickened this world, and all men outside of Christ are condemned because of it. Right? John 3:16-17 says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but he sent him into this world to save the world. He didn't need to condemn the world because the world was already condemned because of sin, because of Adam and Eve and disobedience to God in the Garden of Eden, and that sin nature has transferred down through every person, even down today. And so Christ was sent to be the Savior of the world, to help men to be free from their sin, forgiven of their sin, and have the gift of eternal life, and that comes through believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. So there is a need for good news. In this world, there is a need for the gospel. And apart from the gospel, no one can be saved. Peter talked about that in, I think it's 1 Peter, where it's the word of God that people hear, which would be the gospel, that needs to be heard in order to be saved from sin. The word gospel, the English word, of course, occurs 104 times, all of them in the New Testament. Most of the occurrences are in the book of Romans and the book of 1 Corinthians, with 13 times each, which is kind of interesting when you think about it. With Romans, we understand, because this is the epistle of the gospel, the grace of God and salvation. And 1 Corinthians was a letter written to that church in Corinth because of all the problems that they were experiencing and having, and difficulties. And so it seems interesting that the need for salvation, the need for eternal life in the book of Romans is important, but also when there's difficulties and troubles within a local church, also the gospel is needed. And so 13 times. We find many variations with the word gospel throughout the New Testament. There is the gospel of God. We read of that many times. The gospel of Christ. That occurs numerous times. The gospel of peace occurs a couple of times. The gospel of your salvation also appears. The gospel of his Son. And here in Acts 20:24, the gospel of the grace of God. This is the only place in the New Testament where the gospel of the grace of God occurs. And we take that to be quite significant in terms of Paul's focus for his life and for his ministry. I like this expression, the gospel of the grace of God. For truly, the gospel is the grace of God whereby he saves by grace through faith everyone who believes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe the gospel, and they trust in Christ as their Savior. And that is all of God's grace. Everything is God's grace. Paul said that it's by the grace of God I am what I am, and how he served the Lord. Everything's by grace. And I think that we all have a deep understanding in our own hearts and lives that it's the grace of God that has made us what we are by our faith and trust in him. The definitive passage on the gospel, I think we need to remind ourselves of that this morning, is where? 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through, I say 5, the first part of verse 5. So if you want to turn there, we're just going to read through and just point out a couple of things. First Corinthians 15, of course, is also the classic chapter on resurrection. And that comes a little bit later in the chapter. But in the first five verses, we get a true picture of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So beginning in verse 1, Paul writes this, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you," what? "The gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen." And in the next few verses, Paul lists a number of people who saw the risen Christ. Right? So this is not a nice little story made up by apostles. People saw the risen Christ. In fact, on one occasion, 500 brethren at once had seen him. And so it wasn't a mass delusion. This was a truth, a reality that Christ had risen from the dead on the third day, according to the Scriptures. So in these few verses, you've got the whole ball all together. You've got the gospel, he says in verse 1, that I preached to you. You have received it. You're standing in it. And you're saved. If you, as he says, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. So they received it, they stand in it, they are saved by it, they have believed the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that gospel is, in a nutshell, I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. That little phrase is interesting. There's a couple of possibilities as to what Paul was meaning here. Number one, it's something that he himself believed and received into his own heart and life. He believed the gospel of the Lord Jesus. But secondly, it could also mean that this was a revelation given to him by the Lord Jesus. He had received it from Christ, like everything else in Paul's life he received from the Lord Jesus. So he received it from Christ as truth that he then passed on through his preaching to others. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And the proof of it all is that he was seen. And may I say to you that all of this is covered by the grace of God. God didn't have to do any of this, right? We were sinners, evil, wicked before him. He could have just said, away with you. And that would have been just. But God loved us so much that he sent his son to be our Savior. And that is the example of his grace for us. And so there seems to be no more important truth that mankind needs to mankind needs to hear the gospel of the grace of God. It's not something that you work for. It's not something that you may merit or think that you are deserving of it, for we are not. It is God's grace through faith that brings us our salvation. And so the gospel of the grace of God, I love that little phrase. As I said, it occurs and appears only once in the scriptures, right here in this verse, and seems to be quite significant. So, like Paul, our task is to testify to this gracious gospel message. The world around us is not going to hear it unless we tell them what the gospel message is. We are not to try and convince men to believe it. We are just to testify and witness to it, right? We tell them what the truth is. Whether they believe it or not is up to them, but our task is to be faithful to communicate that truth to them. As we do that, then I believe the Holy Spirit then will take that truth and will bring conviction into the hearts and minds of the ones who have heard the gospel message. And pray that they would then respond to that by believing the gospel and trusting Christ as their Savior. But we just need to be faithful to the witness and to tell others of it, to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. So in this year, 2024, let us commit ourselves to do just that, to testify to the grace, to the gospel of the grace of God, wherever and whenever we can. Let us be bold. Let us be courageous. Let's not let anything deter us from our witness for the Lord Jesus and the gospel message. And may the Lord help us to testify with not only our words, but also with our life and living. I found this quote. I have it as a picture, but it'll take too long to put it up on the screen, so I'll just tell you what it is. I think I had it up there a couple weeks ago. This quote: "Live in such a way that those who know you but don't know God will come to know God because they know you." I'll say that again. Live in such a way that those who know you but don't know God will come to know God because they know you. That's a pretty good statement, and I think worth musing on a little bit in our own lives. Charles Spurgeon said that the most important daily habit we can possess is to remind ourselves of the gospel. The most important daily habit we can possess is to remind ourselves of the gospel, and then to testify the gospel of the grace of God to everyone we can all around us as opportunities arise. So let's make that our daily habit this year, 2024, and take every opportunity to testify to the gospel. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your word, and we thank you for this verse that expresses so much what our focus needs to be in this new year, and with the reference number of 2024 just seems to fit in so very nicely, quite providential. Thank you for directing us to it. And I pray that the truths that Paul has expressed here of not being moved by anything externally, not even his own evaluation of his own life, but his desire to finish his course with joy and to finish the ministry that Christ gave to him to testify the gospel of the grace of God. May we enter into that same kind of ministry, that mindset, that no matter what, we will take every opportunity to tell others about the Lord Jesus and about the gospel of the grace of God. Thank you for your word this morning, planted deeply into our hearts and minds. Help us to carefully think on those things that you have said to us, and let us be prepared to exercise and to apply this to our lives, both individually and as a local church, in the days that are ahead of us. Bless, we pray just now in Jesus' name. Amen.